Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden. It is Massless Party Friday here in Adams County. The mask mandate has been lifted, so we'd have to work. So we're going to have more fun partying this Friday than usual. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, and Denver Cinegenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, a lot going on for the show today. We've got author and columnist, analyst Scott Powell coming up to talk about his new book, Rediscovering America. And then Austin Hine, he is challenging the Rhino in Chief at the Colorado Legislature. He's going to do it, running against him in the primary. So we're going to talk to him, find out what, you know, he's got to say about that. And I say, thank God, number one, that he's doing that. And all kinds of other stuff too. We're waiting to get Scott. We can talk about the Olympics. I'm not going to watch him. You don't really watch him anyway.
Well, I'll make a particular effort not to watch him, the genocide Olympics in China.
You're going to have to give up the curling and the bobsledding, but it's going to be a sacrifice well worth it. Another thing too.
Ice dancing.
Ice dancing. We'll talk about this Monday with Mark Poff. We're going to have him on. So Denver's mayor had a big conference and they decided they're going to do safety stuff. And two of his ideas were, get this, hire more police, go figure, and change letting everybody out on bond, personal cognizance, and they never show up again. What a concept. He could have called us, 7 years ago? We could have saved him a lot of time.
Well, he says
trouble.
He wants to have more than just a man with a gun. And you kind of go, well, what's the man?
Maybe
with
a taser then.
What's the woman without the gun going to do then?
Yeah. Hey, so we're talking about that Monday, but we're pleased to have with us now political analyst, author Scott Powell on his new book out, Rediscovering America. Hey, Scott, thank you for your time this Friday afternoon.
Great to have you on.
Oh, great to be on.
Why don't I just open-ended question, have you tell us a little bit about your book and why you decided to write it?
Well, the book was many years in the thinking about a year and a half in the writing. You know, being a student of history, I've always felt that history books tended to be rather linear. You know, they cover who, what, when, and where, and history is sometimes rather boring. And because America has such an incredible history, I really wanted to write a shorter account and focus on the major events, the transitions of America, and the qualities of character that enabled people to overcome impossible odds. Because we're facing right now a very similar time in our country, where many people are demoralized, they're discouraged. But there's reason for great hope. We just have to tap in to the qualities that we've had before, and we have to be, we need to follow certain things like pushing back and recovering, our Bill of Rights, all our rights in the ten amendments, the Bill of Rights amendments. You know, we've lost 9 of them in the last 2 years.
Which one have we retained?
Yeah, so I'm the optimist. Well, Chuck is the pessimist. He's like, wait, we retained one?
Yeah, which one was that?
Well, I don't have them right in front of me, but we've lost almost all of them. Right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, so
we haven't lost the right to keep and bear arms. They want
to. They're trying to.
That they really want to take away from us. That was Obama's mission, and he failed. So, these folks, they never give up. The left works 24/7 and never stops.
Yep, I'd agree with that.
Well, most people on our side, we have a life, we have families, we work, we pay the bills, and we don't, we don't approach politics as they do. For them,
it's
a
everything.
Constant battle, and they do not give up.
No.
Well, what do you think are the outstanding events in American history?
Chuck is a historian himself too.
Well, I mean, if you go right back to the beginning, the discovery of the New World by Columbus is a wonderful story. And I resurrect Columbus. He was an incredible guy. You know, he wasn't a Spaniard, and some of the bad name that Columbus is tainted with comes about as a result of the sponsorship from Spain on his four voyages to the Caribbean and South America. And, you know, the Spanish Hidalgo culture is a little bit different. But they faced cannibals in the Caribbean. I mean, that's why they call it the Caribbean Sea, because it was named after the Carib tribe. And the Carib tribe attacked, went from island to island, killing all the men and enslaving the women. And then they ate the men. They were cannibals.
So you're saying that
Christopher Columbus, to me, has always been a dichotomy. And what's known about Christopher Columbus has been known for hundreds of years. One, he was incredibly brave, adventurous.
Wait, he was a genocidal maniac.
He was a genocidal
maniac. No, he was not.
He certainly enslaved people. He certainly enslaved tribes that were not the Caribs. He certainly was a vicious killer. People are both. That's the trouble with history. They want you to be one or the other. You're not. Christopher Columbus had wonderful characteristics. He was also a man of his time, and that's of butchery and slavery, which was common
who did the killing. That was not what Columbus was about. He was, first of all, a seafaring explorer, and he was an amazing evangelist.
Have you ever read some of his diaries?
Hey, let's let him finish.
They're amazing. That's why I know so much about him. I've read his diaries. They just blow your mind.
Enslaving people. He describes them. Why can't he be both? Why can't he be an extraordinary human being?
Well, maybe he can, but...
Yeah, okay.
Well, but let me ask you this, because I know we have a 10-year-old, and here in Colorado, they're revising the social studies and history standards. Oh, and my guess is that, well, hopefully they would include things like in your book, because... like I said, I was being sarcastic there. It's like, you know, the kids today, it's like, you know, we want to protest Christopher Columbus and we can't have any statues of anybody. And there's nothing good about America. And by the way, kindergartner, you're a racist and you always were, you have no hope of that. So I think it's books like yours.
Let me tell your listeners where that comes from.
Okay.
We are in an ideological and spiritual battle for the survival of the United States. They started taking us down back in the 1930s with the Frankfurt School of Marxism, which permeated most of the universities through the next decades. Cultural Marxism was developed for the very purpose that the original Marx developed his theories. It was to take down a society and transform it. So cultural Marxism, it really has taken over our culture. So we're in the late stages of this battle. And these are communists that we're dealing with. And communists always destroy any society that they take over. They destroy the history of that nation. So we're seeing the communist agenda before it's realized. I mean, they are showing who they are.
Right, right.
And what they want to do is impose the basic totalitarian system where all information is controlled, people are controlled, and that's so far out of character of most Americans. But Americans need to wake up to recognize what it is they're dealing with. This is not a passing fancy.
Right.
These folks are on the 3-yard line, and they think they can get the ball over the goal line now.
I agree with you there.
This is why they're going crazy, and they're not stopping.
Well, it seems to me American history, and I've studied American history for 50, 60 years, is unique in two characteristics. One's the Constitution. Seldom do a group of people who take power then limit that power and limit it all the way through. I mean, there are very few George Washingtons who ride off into the sunset, mainly because they have lots of enemies who will come out and kill them. But George Washington was so incredibly popular that he could retire without worrying that his political enemies would come after him. And then we set up a limited government, which meant they couldn't interfere with the free market system, at least until 150 years later. So we got a tremendous free market system. We created more wealth, more opportunity, everything else. The other thing that's unique about American history, never, and I've studied history all over the world, have a people gone to war to free slaves Now, they often, let's say, the Persians came in and freed the Jewish people from Babylon. But that wasn't their goal. Their goal was to overthrow the Babylonian kingdom. We actually sacrificed 600,000 people to free slaves. And those future slaves, while have been subject to much racism, have also had an extraordinary opportunity. Many of them multi-millionaires today. There are lots of people who want to come from Western Africa to the United States. Nobody wants to go from the United States to Western Africa. So instead of always talking about what a racist society it is, we're unique and we're willing to die in the hundreds of thousands of free slaves.
No, racism is being used to, you know, to divide America, pure and simple. We are not certainly not systemically racist, by any stretch of anyone's imagination. This is preposterous. Right. Oh, and I would remind all the listeners who might think that CRT has something to contribute. It was born out of Marxism. Yeah. Marxism is a philosophy of resentment towards success. Marxism is backward looking. We're a forward-looking people. We don't drive our car by looking in the rearview mirror. Critical race theory is like putting it in reverse and gunning it. It divides our society. It can serve no constructive purpose. There's nothing good that comes out of critical race theory. Nothing. So why are the elites pushing it? The elites are part of the enemy now. They've sort of joined the camp. They think the future is going to look like the Chinese system. And
with them in charge.
Yeah. Well, and I would say I go beyond sort of just the communists and tell me what you think of this, in that there is this whole sort of globalist, as you said, this globalist elite, the multi-billionaires, right? I mean, what are we, Jeff Bezos are having to take apart a bridge in the Netherlands so his super yacht, the largest in the world, can get out. Right. And here's the arrogance of the guy. He doesn't think, well, maybe I should make it a little shorter so I can get out of the bay. It's like, oh, no, I'll just buy the country, I guess, and rebuild the bridge. But I mean, these people, what do you see of that? So it's not, I don't think, just communism, that there is this globalist.
Absolutely. Or you could simplify it by talking of, you know, reducing it down to, you know, the elites and everyone else. You know, elitism tends to breed arrogance and corruption, certainly wealth, you know, success and wealth do that. And so we're, you know, many of our problems are of our, you know, we've planted the seeds of our own problems. Yeah. And it is true that the technology elite are they seem hell-bent on believing that society is going to evolve into a Chinese-like system where there's social control, and that they're going to be their status is going to be even enhanced. You know, they'll have a more of a role in leading the society. These people are utterly corrupt, power-hungry people, and we Americans have got to stand up and push back.
Well, that's what's so great about the founding fathers. They understood that mankind's basic nature is greedy, selfish, self-centered, and not very nice. And so they set up a political system where no one got too much power, because power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And ever since Woodrow Wilson or everyone else, they've been trying to get to a government-owned everything else owns you, which is exactly contrary to the founding fathers' wishes.
Absolutely. And when you think about, you know, when you think about the checks and balances on the nation state, which we have, look how much corruption we have, even with those constitutional checks and balances.
Yeah.
Should we create a new system, a global order? I shudder to think the level of corruption and oppression and death and gulags that would ensue.
Right. There'd be no place to escape to.
Let me ask you about this, about the hopeful part, because here's what I think you're absolutely right. And that's a good analogy. It's like, no, they're on the 3-yard line and they're thinking they can shove this in, right? Or do some sort of trick play and fool us over here. But what I've seen happening with the overreach, so you've got the censorship, and I think, you know, Facebook took a dive, right? I mean, massive dive. I think you see people waking up and saying, I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to have a vaccine. And I, you know, and I'll talk a little bit about my daughter isn't a particularly political person at all, but she just hasn't been wearing a mask forever. For her, it's not a political statement. She just doesn't want to. And her thing is, this is America. I don't have to wear a mask. I mean, I think some of these ideas have been ingrained in us, at least the current us, right? And so it's harder for them to push through than they thought. That's why they're focusing on the kids so much. But I think there is reason to be hopeful, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure that you, one or both of you have seen the videos of Yuri Bezmenov. Do you know Yuri Bezmenov?
Yes.
He was a Soviet defector. He defected to Canada in the early 1980s. And he was a high-level Soviet official that worked at Novosti Press. He was in the business of propaganda. And in his interview, you can go on YouTube and find his interview, and it's well worth doing.
Surprise,
but basically, he described the playbook that the communists used to take over target countries. And that playbook has been applied to America. The first is you demoralize the people.
Yeah.
And you do that, it's generally a long process, at least a generation long, where you undercut the traditions and the belief system of the target country, and then you destabilize the country. And we've been in a state of destabilization really for quite some time. And then you bring about a crisis event, and then they come in and pick up the pieces. But division is a very important part of the picture. The demoralization and the destabilization involves dividing people. And we have seen our country sliced and diced and divided in so many different ways.
Well, even the Romans had that one down there where it was divided.
Yeah, sure. Now, these evil ideas of dominating countries are not, you know, unique to communism. I think they systematized it perhaps better than anyone else and advanced it further. But we have to expect that the Chinese have been applying this to us, and you know, they don't really want to invade us. They want to pick up the pieces after we've collapsed.
Right. Well, they just want to monitor. I think the Chinese, I mean, they want to, they're collecting so much data. This is what really scares me, though, about all of this, is the technology aspect and the data that they're gathering on us and the ways that they can manipulate us where we don't even realize, right? It's one thing when they just ban you from YouTube. That's out there and you already know it. But when YouTube is sending you little advertisements all the time saying, particularly for kids, this is a good idea. For instance, our son is on TikTok. I have to constantly monitor because there's all this weird gender stuff on TikTok, right? But at a young age, I think kids are becoming exposed to this stuff. And it's not overt, right? It's just, it's all kind of there. And that's the kind of thing that really worries me, as opposed to some of the more blatant kind of things they're trying.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's going to intensify. I think it's really, really the believers, particularly the Christian believers, that are the main bulwark now against this march.
Yeah.
And they're coming after Christians in a bigger way. You wait and see.
Well, and families and things like that. So what's, could you, so
well, what do you think the public school system will continue to exist 50 years from now?
I think the public school system is really in decline. And I think as parents wake up, they either have to find a way to, look at their budgets if they can afford a private school. But the homeschools are just mushrooming right now,
and
rightfully so. Right. No parent should keep their kids in public schools. Even if you have a good public school, the crap that the National Education Association and the Federal Teachers Association, you know, feeds all of the faculty, all of the teachers are exposed to that, and people self-select. So there are very few traditional value people that go into teaching anymore in public schools because it's such
a
hostile environment.
Well, right. our schools, our son is in a charter school, and I was talking to a political friend of mine saying that the left has now decided to invade and get on all the boards of the charter schools in order to destroy them. So they never stop.
That's what we said that in the beginning. You know, if there's a takeaway from this conversation, is that our enemy never stops.
And so we have to be,
to be continuously vigilant.
Okay.
But this book is terrific. Let me tell you how your listeners can get the book, because it's in a pre-sale status now. That is to say, it's not yet released. It's released on March 8th.
Okay.
But because of the COVID supply chain constraints, the printing of books has been reduced. So first editions, all authors are facing smaller print runs. So the book industry is dominated by Amazon, and the easiest way to order the book is on Amazon. And for every pre-sale in the Amazon system, all of the publishers look at those numbers, and then they multiply that number by 5 or 6, and that will be their next print run. So for every book that gets ordered today, you will be creating 5 or 6 more books that can go into libraries and just can meet the demand, because the book's in the number one position. It's number one on Amazon in new releases in the history.
Wow.
What's the title of the book again?
It's Rediscovering America.
Okay.
It's like no other history book. Answer the whys of why all these things happened. And I did a lot of research to find stories that were neglected by traditional historians, who tend to be rather secular, and they don't want to get into the why.
Right.
So I include, you know, the providential aspect of things, the miracles, the protection that Washington had throughout his life, really. He was an incredibly blessed man.
Yes, he was. And he married an older, rich woman.
Like Chuck, no, I'm kidding. Wait, I'm not older.
But Lincoln's another story. I mean, Lincoln, you know, he didn't have the proper upbringing that Washington had. He didn't go to an Episcopal church as Washington did. But he was raised from poverty, you know, and we all know the story of the one-room cabin in, you know, in Indiana and Kentucky. But he went through a lot of struggle, a lot of search. He saw hypocrisy in the church, so he wasn't really a church-going man, and yet his upbringing instilled within him an appreciation for this great truth that's in the Bible, and that stayed with him. He lost 2 sons, one of whom he lost in the midst of the Civil War. You know, when he came into the presidency,
had mental illness.
He came into office after 6 states had already seceded from the Union.
Huh.
I mean, think about that. Your first day on the job. What are you
going to
do?
A little challenging.
It was challenging. And the Confederates, you know, I mean, Robert E. Lee was the finest general to be found in America at that time. And he could fight larger Union forces and defeat them. He was so talented as a general. And indeed, the first 2 years were going against Lincoln and the Union forces. And it really drove Lincoln to his knees in prayer. And ultimately, you know, he had this epiphany that, you know, I really need to make a statement that this war is about slavery and we're going to emancipate the slaves. When he came into office, you know, he ran on a platform of, it was not an anti-slavery platform. He basically acknowledged that the states, you know, he wasn't going to violate those states' rights. And in some ways the early Lincoln was more constitution than the later Lincoln, because he violated a lot of rights. The
Proclamation
had
little or nothing to do with the Constitution.
We have run out of time, so we have to let you go. So one more time, Rediscovering America, get it on Amazon, pre-order it. That's great information to have, because pre-orders help.
Just do a search, Scott S. Powell, Rediscovering America, and you'll find it. And it really helped it. You know, increase the print run, because I think this book is really going to become a bestseller, and it'd be a shame not to have books available for people.
Absolutely. All right. It sounds great. Hey, thanks
Scott.
Your time.
I appreciate
it. It's been a real delight. Really has. Let's do it again. All right.
Absolutely. Thank
Wonderful.
You very much.
Wonderful.
Scott
okay,
Powell.
Good.
Thank you. Rediscovering America. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah,
you know, take it. And you're a historian, Chuck. You love all of those stories too. Let me read. You got a bunch of comments here. This is from Stephen. Basically, what do teachers' unions contribute to the education of students? Mm. I told my son yesterday when they have children to save his money and send them to private schools or charter schools. From Jacob, the more homeschooling, the less society interacts and everyone becomes afraid of each other. And Stephen says, Jacob, social interaction, being confined to social media, email, and texting as he is. And then Leo says, Stephen, that's what Facebook's metaverse is designed to replace, pure evil. Well, you know, I think
a little debate on our board.
A little bit debate. Yeah, that's a sidebar Chuck and Julie show starring everybody. We're going to, I don't know if Austin Hine is on. Probably not a little bit. We're a little bit early. Austin, if you're there, though, feel free to unmute yourself and turn your camera on and we'll get to him. But I wanted to talk a little bit, speaking of the teachers, you know, the Douglas County thing. I think that's a perfect example of everything that's wrong with public education. Remember, guys, keep in mind, Douglas County has been for a while ground zero of the fight over vouchers and charter schools. The union, the teachers union, is huge and backs a lot of things. And then they still lost and they had a candidate come in, or the, a slate of candidates at the school board that were very parental rights oriented. Right.
Well, and they have to understand the same thing happened in Jeffico County.
Right.
And they did everything to recall them. They just wore them down. And I think Peterson, I think, is one of the new guys. And he sounds like he has the gumption to fight back, knowing what all this is. They will claim every little, oh, this is Sunshine Violation. This is this. This is that. Tell them to stick it.
That's, yes.
And I was talking to a politician from who represents a part of Douglas County. He said the school board's got to move fast. They've got they've got the voucher program. Don't wait. Don't wait for these vultures.
Well, and what did the teachers all walked out? So here are the teachers. So they walked out, right? Refused to teach. It's so saying it's for the kids. It's not even remotely for the kids.
Yeah.
They were upset because the school board is talking about firing the superintendent or getting rid of the superintendent,
which they should do.
And even if they, it's their right, right? The teachers don't tell the school board who to hire. The parents tell the school board who to hire. The teachers don't get to say, we hate you, stupid parents, which is exactly what they're doing in Douglas County. They are saying, we hate you, stupid parents. And if you don't do what we, the teachers, say, we're just not going to teach your freaking kids.
Right.
And you know what? The school board would say, great. You know, you're all freaking fired. Pardon my saying freaking so much. But because here's the thing, the teachers, they're not going to stop. Okay.
And they're not going
to get. And then whatever the teacher, the school board, they could say, okay, well, now we're going to have a hearing and we'll listen to all sides. And they're still going to protest. They could say, we're having pizza on Tuesdays and they're going to walk out and protest. They could say whatever, right? Because the teachers union is going to fight the board every step of the way. Don't you think?
We watched it in Jefferson County, and they also have to know that the media will be against them.
Right.
Fox 479 will all be against them. I read an article in the Colorado Sun talking about how Superintendent Wise was the kindest, nicest, most gentle human being
ever.
And that the board was the world's worst people. Well, they're just going to have to buck it up and fight them. They're never going to get good coverage from the Denver Post. Probably not from Colorado politics, certainly not from the Colorado
and
Sun.
And they got to keep in mind, it's not about any of the particular issues. This is about the teachers' union trying to squash anyone who happens to step up and challenge them, right? Doesn't matter what the issue is, they're going to fight it. So these are, the school board needs to remember, they don't work for the teachers' union. They work for the parents and the students. And the teachers have flat out shown they could give a hoot about the students or the parents. The only thing they care about is having control, because they haven't even talked about, you know, a new superintendent or anything like that, right?
Well, they talked about him retiring, which is nice. So now they just need to fire him.
They just want to cause any kind of headaches that they can for the school board. So the Douglas County School Board's got to buck up, because they're in for a rough ride.
And their supporters need to go down to meetings too and also support them.
Right. Okay. Oh, and we've got Austin there.
Austin's,
I see
here.
Him there. Hey, so happy to introduce Austin Hine. Austin, I've been kind of promoting you this way. You're primarying the Rhino in Chief down at the state Colorado legislature. So thank you for your time today. Why don't you welcome, and why don't you tell folks a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my pleasure. Hopefully, I got two cats in the room and they're all kind of going nuts. So hopefully
that's
they don't interrupt me too much.
That's all right.
I might end up getting memed a little bit, but that's okay. I'm a constitutional conservative, small L libertarian, whatever you want to call it. But I really believe in our founding principles of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And just really that what it boils down to is I believe that you shouldn't The government should be very limited to just protecting your life and your property. And what that comes down to is don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. And that's I realize that's a very simple way of looking at it, but that's what I believe. And currently we got a guy who's in this office, this House District 51, who is much more willing to play ball with Democrats and in the House. And what that has really resulted in is Republicans in office compromising on what I consider uncrossable lines, which is the right to life and your right to keep and bear arms, things that I can't even fathom giving in on.
Right.
We have a guy in Republican leadership who is caving left and right on it.
We're talking about Hugh McCain, who's the minority leader. He replaced Patrick Neville, and Hugh McCain has been
a palace coup.
Yeah,
because the Murdoch daughter-in-law poured millions of dollars into
the Democrats. So Democrats poured money.
So we elect Wong and all these other ones that are just Democrats in Republican hiding, and so you get things like this awful social studies one, which they almost all voted for, not Patrick, not some of the other
not Dave Williams,
not Van Winkle and stuff, but all the other ones did. And now when it's turned around and the commission they appointed, or they didn't appoint, authorized, and the governor appointed, comes up with a far left agenda, they're kind of like, oh no, we're fighting hard for you guys. It's pathetic. And so tell us a little bit about the 51st district. I mean, how Republican or Democrat is it?
It's a really Republican district, and we have a lot of really good conservative activists here in town.
Loveland. Okay,
this is Loveland. Yeah, and there's a lot of really great people who are here, and a lot of people who have shown me support immediately and said, thank you for stepping up against this guy, and we just haven't had anyone to do it since. And so I've been really grateful to have that type of support. And it's a very conservative town. But we're led by someone who's not conservative. Seeking to change that.
The Liberty Scorecard folks, we have them on every so often. They say that Hugh McCain has a horrible rating, right? He votes Democrat, basically. And again, he's one of these guys, we've talked about this, it's a Democrat tactic to get essentially, they're not even rhinos, they're fake Republicans, mm-hmm. they're fake rhinos, to get them in office pretending to be Republicans. Then they get to the legislature and they do exactly the opposite. And like you were talking about, and then they try to cheat and cover it up. But let me ask you this, though. I mean, he's the minority leader, so that means there's a lot of support there. There's probably money there.
He's got control over the piggy bank of the House party, so he can pour a lot into his own
race. That seems wrong somehow.
Yeah.
What? So this is not going to be fun for you. I mean, when we heard about you, we said, wait, we got to talk to this guy because we totally support somebody challenging him. But what made you decide, you were running out of, boards to hit yourself over the head with or something, and you thought, I'll just challenge Hugh McCain.
There's no doubt I'm an underdog, but I find the underdog is a fun role to play. If I'm not trying to take down the biggest cronies and fake people out there, then what am I doing? Reaching for a low hanging fruit is one thing, but really carving out the cancer with our own party, that's what I'm after.
And, I saw an article saying this is the Neville's revenge. and I was with Patrick at lunch, and he said, I tried to tell Hugh, don't do it. work, no play, and everything else.
It's funny. I that was the first article that came out about it, and I found it really funny because Tim Neville called me a few hours after it came out and said, I didn't even know you were doing it. And Joe was on the same page as Pat. When I talked to Joe, Joe was like, I don't know why you'd want to spend your time down in Denver. And he was probably not worth your time. But, it's something I couldn't get over the idea of someone getting away with this stuff. And the people here just don't know. And because Hugh, to his credit, is a very smooth talker, and really a likable guy when you talk to him in person. And,
he's got a really short temper, in case you don't know Hugh very well.
You know, I haven't seen it, but I've heard that.
Get him going. The nice Hugh goes away, and the Voltimark Hugh comes up.
And here's a good thing. And you know, and we're talking with Austin Hine, who is going to be primarying the Colorado Republican, like I said, the Rhino in Chief down at the state capitol. And actually, what did Matt Arnold came with the term swino, which is a swamp in chief. But it's going to be hard, but it is crucial that we do this because, you know, we on this show rant all the time, and Chuck in particular, he goes to meetings and he talks about this, and this moderate wing has ended up taking over, and I don't even want to call them moderate, the swampy wing has taken over, the swinos have taken over the party, because that's where the donors are. We've got donors and some of the consultant class in Colorado. They don't care. They just want power.
Well, they don't even need the establishment money anymore. They've got all the Democrats to fund them to get weak Republicans.
And look, I mean, I'm expecting to be outspent. I'm expecting Hughes, you know, allies and corporate lobbyists and all that to come in strong for him.
Yeah.
But that's what makes my campaign really focus on the grassroots, is that I need community leadership and community help. And, you know, $5 in my pocket and a donation means way more than $100 in Hughes.
Well, how can people send you $5?
Yeah, you can go to my website, which is hineforhouse.com. That's HEINFORHOUSE.com. Either that, or you can send me a check to it's Hine for Colorado. Make it out to that. And
if it's enough, you'll come pick it up if it's enough money.
Yeah, that's right. Or that, I'll come to your door.
We've had people do that. Hine for Colorado is the website that you can go to.
Hine for House.
Hine for House. I'm sorry. Hine for House, H-E-I-N.
F-O-R.
And I think, though, it's crucial because I think it is time. I know we talk and we've had people say, hey, who do you know? Like, for instance, in House District 29, which is kind of where we are, right? Where can we get somebody? And people are like, oh, you know, I don't want you. So I really commend you for saying, okay, I'm going to give it a shot, you know, because, again, it's not going to be fun. It's probably going to be vicious. Hugh McCain isn't going to go away quietly.
Yeah, but Austin seems like somebody who enjoys a battle.
Well, tell folks a little bit about your background then. I mean,
So, I mean, everyone talks about, you know, you hate people who are career politicians, and I totally understand that. But for me, I've always been really involved in politics since I was really a kid. When I was in high school, I had a U.S. history teacher who really just got my blood boiling on everything in a good way. He was a good teacher. But so I've been involved in local races since I was 14.
Wow.
And so I was involved in a few local races, and then I went to Colorado State University, I studied political science was my thought, which I now kind of look back on like, all right, what was I doing?
It's not politics, and it's not science.
So exactly, and so what I'll tell you is, after I graduated from CSU, I worked for Congressman Thomas Massey.
He's one of my heroes in life. I love Congressman Massey.
Congressman Massey's an amazing guy, and he always made fun of me because of my degree. He said, no, that's not a political science, political theater is what he says, you know. Thomas is great. Thomas, I don't know if you know, but he has two degrees at MIT. So he's he's got a bachelor's in electrical engineering and a master's in mechanical engineering, both from MIT. So he knows what science is. And so, political science is not doesn't quite stack up. But so I worked for Congressman Massey for a while, and really came to respect his political ideology. Not that I didn't before, but really came really ingrained in that really hardcore conservative values, that no back down kind of attitude.
Right.
And then I came back to Colorado because I missed home and I hated Washington D.C.
Yeah.
And I worked for Patrick Neville, who is obviously a great guy, great conservative, just like Massey, and I'm really just really ingrained in fighting for liberty at every level I can.
Else do you do in life? Because the salary on a House rep will not buy you too many Burger Kings.
Yeah. Well, I currently work as the political director for the National Association for Gun Rights.
Oh, great.
So I work in federal gun lobbying, and really we're a no compromise gun group. who is willing to take on anybody, regardless of party, and make sure that we actually have true gun rights in our country.
Yeah.
So. Well, it sounds like, though, with all of your experience, you are going into this with your eyes wide open. With your eyes wide open. And I think that's going to give you a distinct advantage.
Well, you weren't shocked when the article came out that was not glowing, that the democracy is flourishing in the 51st. And you won't. I mean, all you'll get is how you're the world's worst human being, but you're ready for
it. Hopefully the citizens.
I don't concern myself with the opinions of communists, to be honest. So when I get these chat boards coming after me for, you know, being this hardcore conservative or whatever, that really doesn't bother me. It kind of fuels me a little bit.
Right.
It means I'm doing something right.
Well, and it sounds like, too, you know how to organize, you know how to get people organized. I think that's some of the trickiest part, particularly because I think House District 51 up there, you can, I would imagine, you know, if you have a good ground game, knocking on doors, getting people, you know, I mean, I think it's doable, don't you? Well, obviously,
yeah.
You wouldn't be doing it.
I mean, I'm going to be outspent, but I'm not going to be outworked. And I'll make that as a promise. And that's going to be a lot of door knocking, a lot of phone calls, and really the real gritty stuff that you need to do to be a good candidate.
Well, let me tell you one of the gritty stuff that no Republican seems to know how to do, which is ballot harvest. It's not easy to ballot harvest in the Loveland area, but you can do it. And you absolutely need to have do it. Republicans go, ballot harvest, huh? I can't.
Well, Lauren Boebert did a great job.
Yeah,
that.
She did a
right.
great job.
Same
she
kind of thing. Well, and hopefully you will inspire other people too, because I think, again, that's the one way we can take things back, is to go ahead and push back when we see what the Democrats are doing, when they're funding these fake candidates. Mm-hmm. We need to step up, and we need to have like true conservatives like you who say, yeah, I know I'm not going to get all the money, you know? And that same thing on school boards, city council races, things like that. And hopefully you can be sort of a shining example to other people in other districts.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the dream, right? I got inspired in politics by Ron Paul standing up and speaking and running for president. And his son Rand, when he did a 13-hour filibuster on Obama's illegal drone strikes and wiretapping. And that's what really inspired me to get into politics, especially this type of conservative libertarian wing. And so, the concept of me inspiring other people who are young and conservative to take a stand, that'd make everything worth it. And that I wouldn't even need to win if that ended up happening.
We need to win.
but you know, inspiring another generation of conservative fighters, that'd be everything.
That's right. Well, yeah, we'll just take a generation of conservative fighters. You know,
that's the new part.
Yeah. Well, one more time, then, Austin, your website and what people can do to help you.
Yeah. So, website again is heinforhouse.com. That's HEINFORHOUSE. Sign up. I got an email list. I got a volunteer list. But donations would be great. Help me make the ballot. If you know any conservative activists in Loveland, connect them with me. Please. My contact information is on there. And
Which county is that?
Larimer.
Larimer.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Uh-oh. That chair won't like you very much, will he?
Ron Weinberg. Ron's fine on me,
don't stir up trouble where he doesn't need it.
We're plugging right along, and campaign's going off to a great start. I just want to keep momentum, keep building, and really, this is going to be a true grassroots conservative campaign. And those are the ones that actually do a really good job in Colorado. They have a lot of success. So. I'm really looking any help that I can get from anybody on here. I appreciate. Check out I got a Facebook. You know, I know Zuckerberg is censoring all that. But it's on there. So and Twitter too. So search me up and follow me and like and share and all that stuff. All that is really helpful, because the wider my message gets, the better chance I have of not only inspiring other people, but winning it myself. So
there you go. There
perfect.
You go.
All right. Well, listen,
best of luck, Austin.
Come back anytime too. Anything we can do to help, we're happy to.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, okay, thank you. Hind for, Charlene, thank you for putting it up there. Hind for House. Leo saying, go for it, Austin. So you got the support here, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, sir.
Well, we have, what do we have about Peter up here? My eyes aren't that good. I know Sandra's a big friend of Chuck's.
Friend Peter Boyle's. Oh, they're kind of being sarcastic.
No, well, this is great. So yesterday I went to lunch with Peter and
Patrick
and Patrick Neville.
You guys will like this story.
And it was a hoot. I mean, we were just...
Well, to explain it, Peter ostensibly wanted to try to convert Patrick Neville to the Rhino Wing.
No, right. No, he just said, you know, give up about election integrity.
Well, become a Rhino, basically.
Well, I'm not sure a total Rhino, but anyway. So the whole lunch, we were just having the best time.
Chuck and Peter, Chuck and Patrick ganged up on Peter.
Oh man, we just spent all our time, and Peter was hilarious, and it was so much fun and so much back and forth and banter because we really don't agree about much anymore.
You and Peter,
me and Peter. I mean, I love him, but we don't agree on anything, or not very much. But thinking, inviting people, having people over. To a luncheon in which we regale him with what the debates are and how we attack each other and everything else. So who knows
that may come up. Let me answer Charlene. So Charlene, this is the good news for folks who came in late. What Austin is doing is he is primarying Hugh McCain, who is that House Minority Leader, who is essentially, like I say, he's the Rhino in Chief down at the state legislature.
And he overthrew Patrick Neville.
He overthrew Patrick Neville, who was the Minority Leader before, and he's put together a caucus of essentially Democrats in, you know, rhino clothing, basically. And all of the money is going in there. The Democrat money, the establishment consultant class money goes to Hugh McCain to keep him in power. And Austin, God bless him, is stepping up saying, all right, I'm going to challenge him. I'm going to primary him. So he's going to need all the help he can get. And so folks, if you can see Austin put up there, it's hindforhouse.com. And then he also has a list of where you can go.
Leo's got a suggestion.
What's that?
Why don't you read it since you're better?
Can you set up a lunch with Peter Boyle's Barney and myself? There you go. And Charlene is like, primary that loser. Exactly, Charlene. And that, I think, is what we have to start doing. And that's the kind of stuff, you know, Chuck gets discouraged. And you were saying Patrick was discouraged about the Republican Party.
Well, so many rhinos.
There are so many rhinos, but you can't stop. I mean, I know Colorado has a reputation nationally for being just run by the consultant class and the donor class.
For
the consultant class and the donor class.
Well, the donor class is Phil Anschutz. I mean, that's what controls everything. I mean, he does a great job of staying out of the limelight, but he contributes to Democrats, but Republicans, he controls the Independence Institute. He controls Complete Colorado. He controls Colorado politics. He controls the Colorado Gazette. And there have been 20 others, Colorado Christian College, I think.
But this is where great stuff, though, like what Austin do, when you're talking about an individual House district, right? I think that's where a good ground game can counter right? Yeah. Sometimes statewide and nationally, I admit it's going to be hard to do. I mean, they're looking how hard they're working
like
on Lauren
just
Boebert.
the kind of guy of
maybe we should have him run for governor or something. With his background, he clearly has his eyes open. He knows how the game is played.
Yeah, well,
and he knows
Thomas
who he's going to be able to get
all kinds of criticism. So he's watched it.
And he's watched people say it. So anyway, so yeah, that's great. And hopefully we can have some other people too. Wanted to spend just a few minutes talking about, because I want to set the record straight on, you may have woken up this morning and heard everyone going in the corporate media, oh my God, look at these, hallelujah, look at these jobs report. It's amazing. The economy has totally recovered. A little bit of inflation, but don't worry about that, guys. Supply chain, don't worry about this. Well, as it turns out,
they cooked the books.
I don't know what the term would be. They didn't cook it. They just completely made it up. So what they did with the jobs reports, in order to make it look like we gained all of these jobs in the economy, and the economy is growing, and hooray, hooray for Joe Biden. The way I understand, and there's a lot of complicated stuff, but what they did is essentially they took all of the job gains that they said occurred like in the summertime, right? For sort of the first half of the year. And they took those away and said, because they do stuff when they have these reports come out, they later on go back and adjust them. They do that all the time, right? Well, this time they took all of those jobs that occurred back then and said, they didn't occur back then. And they scooched them all over to December and January. January.
So last year, when no one pays any attention to
right.
it, is much worse than before. But they don't care because nobody ever concentrates it. And so they'll just keep on going back. 1962, that was overcounted, so come.
Right, look at all the jobs we've created. So don't for a second, does that make sense? What they did is they just took, you'd think, I'd call me crazy, but you'd think the way to do it would be go 1, 2, 3, 4 jobs, right? I mean, we all pay taxes, and we all even have to like it pay Venmo now. I know it's a shell game, but this time, I mean, shell game, they just like a giant igloo game, right? Where they move it because, I mean, they're not even trying to be tricky because it took, you know, analysts. Now the corporate media won't tell you this, but it took analysts like 5 minutes. I was watching, and we've had him on our show before, Chris Murkowski, Wolf of Wall Street. That's not it. Anyway, he's an economist guy. He was like, I'm very skeptical about this. I haven't had time to look at it because it just came out, but I'm very skeptical about it. So just keep that in mind. What they did is they scooched jobs that actually they said, oh, they happened here.
Took them off of those books
and then added them
till January.
It's like, I guess that's a good way to do it too. Well, what does Glenn Beck say? Yeah, jobs, numbers from Stephen. Figures don't lie, but liars figure. Right, exactly. Right. And then Glenn Beck said the actual unemployment rate is really about 24%.
Right.
Well, you know, again, all you have to do is drive around, right? Or talk to restaurants. The Denver Post, which will have the glowing job report story, is also reporting that restaurants are closing right and left in Colorado because they can't find people to work there. So they're not adding jobs, right? Jobs are not being added. Sooner or later, I think they will be. Sooner or later, it's going to get better. But, you know, again, they're just pivoting. It's like they declared COVID is over. Another good thing, I have a feeling Fauci is on his way out. The Republicans are now running ads with Rand Paul attacking, saying this guy is going to, you know, investigate Fauci, attacking Fauci, basically. And I'm sure they're not running those ads without having tested them and polled them, particularly with unaffiliated voters. And so they know that Fauci is extremely unpopular. I don't think it's going to take the Biden administration very long. Do you just sort of say, you know, maybe we should get rid of Fauci? He's not really helping us here in any way, shape or form.
I don't know what they're going to do with Fauci. They'd have to drag him away. He's 81 and he doesn't want to go.
That's right. Well, this is from Leo. Well, my grandma's going to kick me out of her basement and I'll have to get a job. That's exactly what's going on. And we won't get into all the Peter Boyle stuff, but because we've run out of time. Hey, that will do it for us on this Friday. Thank you to Scott Powell, Rediscovering America, Austin
and get
Hine.
Out there and party without the mask.
Party with, wait, Chuck, don't leave. I was trying to leave. Party
I'm
without
the
mask.
Get the hell out of here.
Thank you to Thomas and all the guys at BBS. Remember, go to chuckandjulie.com. You can find all of the podcasts and things there. Mark Poff on Friday to talk about Denver Mayor's great idea.
Has been off this entire week. Yeah. She got that COVID thing and then she just can't seem to go.
I just have brain fog continually. Anyway, Mark Poff to talk about Mayor Hancock's brilliant idea to crack down on crime by hiring more police officers. Go figure. Hey, we'll see you all.
Take care, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.